Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Championship weekend coming up. Patriots at Chiefs, Rams at Saints. I mean, if you'd have told us 5 weeks ago that's the Final Four, we'd all be like, okay, that sounds about right. Sure. Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis in studio. What's up, Coach Mack?
The Final Four is the Final Four.
Final Four is the Final Four.
They've all done what they had to do to get there, and it doesn't really matter what you think of them. They're the ones that are there. And
some pretty good quarterbacks involved in this deal.
You think? I mean, well, there are also some pretty good ball teams, you know.
Yes.
Completely. And you know, I know everybody gets not everybody. I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. Don't be all inclusive ever with anything you say. But, you know, it's the top four scoring offenses in the league that are in. But you start looking at the defenses that they're playing to and the running games that they've got going. I mean, that's still, you know, extremely, extremely important. And all these guys, they know what's going on. It's some pretty interesting matchups when you start looking at, I mean, I think that Kansas City, New England thing is fascinating just because you've got two real veteran coaches. Mm-hmm. Two real veteran coaches, guys that have been in this league a long time. They understand what playoff football is. Clearly, I don't have to say anything about that. You know, when you start talking about New England, I mean, they've got the hardware to prove it. But Andy Reid knows what's going on too. And guys, you guys were there, and I keep going back to it because it was still one of the most fun times I've had was in the playoff game last year. I think that Kansas City organization, players and coaches, were stinging from that all year. And they don't you think? And they were not about to let that happen again.
Had a big lead. Felt like, they had the team to make a serious run. And then Kelsey gets knocked out.
Right.
Changes what you can do offensively. And, yeah, I think that's sure.
No, I just know. I've been on teams for 30-plus years, and I know that, especially when you lose a ball game of that magnitude the way they did and everybody's piling on them about their non-success, especially there in Arrowhead. Believe me, that had something to do with it because they were playing with an edge that game. I mean, they really were playing with an edge, and especially, you know, you could tell that Bob Sutton and his defense were tired of hearing about how bad they were. And
Sutton's guys, Andrew Luck said after the game, he never felt comfortable. He sure didn't look like it.
No, Mickey, and the thing that they did so well that I was impressed with, and look, everybody wants to say, well, what happened to the offensive line? The offensive line, really, I've watched that game twice already. When you look at it, they were doing a decent job of stalemating them at the line of scrimmage. But what the defense did so well at Kansas City was, and it's, look, if you're not going to be a pass rusher, which it means you're not going to penetrate the cylinder to be able to affect the quarterback, be a pass defender. And they did a great job of getting their hands up on those over-the-top zone throws that were going inside. What'd they deflect? 5, 6, 7? I mean, they knocked some big passes down. And sometimes, I mean, that's as good as a turnover because that flips the field for you.
Sure.
You going to be the Titans' next OC?
That would be no.
Come on, Coach Mack. You studied offense so long.
That would be no. That would not be good for anybody, especially for me. I mean, that would.
What kind of offensive system would you run if you were the offensive coordinator?
One that scored. I mean, I would. Yeah. I would be real partial to scoring. That would help. No, look, this offensive coordinator search. The thing that is different, and again, I know you guys know this, and our listeners. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it, you know, again, it's different when you're looking for assistant coaches in this league because of the rules. The rules used to be different for assistant coaches. You used to could make up titles and then go get somebody, and you could say, because it's a promotion, you know, I go to get Mickey, and I'm going to make him the assistant head coach in charge of the running game, and that's a promotion.
Right.
And so you have to let him talk to you, okay?
You can't block him because it's a lateral move.
Well, you can't block him because it's not a lateral move.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, so the league, the owners got tired of that. They got tired of other teams poaching their coaches. And so, you know, then they went through a period as to where you had two tags that you could put on two coaches on your staff, and they could not be touched no matter what. All right. I carried that tag, you know, for 5 or 6 years when I was an assistant. You know, every year they would tag you at the start, say, you're tagged, you can't have it. And then if they, you know, they couldn't even ask for permission because it was, you were off limits. Okay. You were done. And then, you know, even if it was a promotion and you were under contract, I mean, I've had this happen to me as to where, you know, a team wanted to talk to me. The owner came to my office door, knocked on it with a permission slip, said, so-and-so has asked for permission, you know, to talk to you about their coordinator's job. And I went, okay. And he went, permission denied, turned around and walked back to his office. And so I've been, you know, and so what the league did, and I think I was at the owner's meetings when they passed this. Of course, the coaches weren't in there. What they did was they said there's only two categories of coaches in the National Football League, head coach, everybody else. Okay. And so that's the way it is. If you're under contract, they don't have to let you talk.
Right.
And plus, you know, they put a slip in, ask for permission. They really don't even have to inform you that somebody has asked for permission to talk to you. All right. They don't have to let you know. When I first came here to work with Jeff Fisher, I mean, the first year I was here, you know, someone put a slip in, wanted to talk to me, and Fish called me from a duck blind, you know, and said, look, just telling you the truth. You know, we've gotten this slip in. Are you interested? And I said, no, I just got here. I don't want to move. But it's on a case to case individual basis. You know, some head coaches will gladly let you talk and will let you go if that's what you want to do. And some will say no because of the makeup of their staff. But that's what's going on. So you have to be able to not only want somebody, you have to be able to get somebody. And sometimes there's avenues you have to go through that take a while.
Are you surprised that there is zero information out there about the Titans OC search? Like, not a they've requested permission, not a they've not they're not there's nothing.
No, I'm not. Nothing because out I, there. Because look, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are very good.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
At keeping their cards face down on the table.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's the way you want it, and that's why look, I'm up there, I don't ask because I don't want to know. I don't need to know. You know, I don't need to know because I don't, you know, and then when I'm asked, do you know, I can truthfully say, I don't know. But that's a good way because when you start getting into this, I mean, it's the old whole loose lips, sink ship type thing. You get into this, you know, time. I mean, the fewer people that know, the people that are important that need to know, they know.
It's interesting, Coach, because I had a buddy and you would know Craig Johnson, I'm sure. Well,
CJ, yes, one of the best ever.
The best guy. And Craig told me once that he said, I have a whole binder and a whole folder. If I ever got a head coaching interview, I'm 2 or 3 deep at every position. I have a complete scheme. I have a complete plan that I could present, you know, if I got that interview. And it was fascinating because Craig's a longtime assistant, still with the Giants today, I guess, was a quarterback's coach for the Titans, has coached running backs for the Giants for a long time. Fantastic guy. And so if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're anybody, you have a list of guys, and I'm sure you have a list of guys that you know, this is my first call, this is my second call, but I guess you do have to keep that liquid to a certain extent, though, just because the leagues change and your guys who are on your list, their situations change.
That's Mickey, you're right on the mark with that because that's exactly what happened. I mean, I've gotten a lot of calls during this time period of people asking me about coaches.
Right.
Because I know them. You know, I know who they are. And they said, you know, Mac, have you been with him? Or do you know him? Have you heard about him? Have you talked? Because, you know, I'm still very well connected in this whole thing. But the issue is, and the first thing that I will say is what's their contractual situation?
Right.
You know, and most everybody knows that before they go in and start. But you do have your list. It doesn't surprise me that CJ has that. I mean, he's a very organized guy. But that is something that you have to have. And when you go in, I mean, I interviewed for 3 head jobs in my career. And when you go in, you know, part of the process of the interview, once you get down to, you know, who your staff is going to be
right.
And which direction are you wanting to take this offensively, defensively, and teams wise, who are your people? Okay. And so then you delineate and lay it out. And most of the time, Mickey, owners are not asking you because of what the prowess is of the person you're hiring. They want names because they want to know what their contractual situation
is.
Sure. So whether they can
start doing due diligence.
They can start doing due diligence. And you're 100% right.
It's interesting because when Mike Vrabel got the job, certainly you look at Dean Pease and you go, okay, those guys are each other's guys. But LaFleur had actually interviewed for the head coaching job. You
right.
know, it was to me, that was an interesting situation that he interviews for the head coaching job. Vrabel gets it, but they're like, hey, this guy, we love what he brings to the table as OC. How that all came together was fascinating.
You know what that, you know what, the first person that I was really impressed with in that whole situation was Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Because look, you know, you've got a guy that, you know, that interviewed for the head job, the same job that you did, and then all of a sudden they turn around and say, look, we were really, because he didn't sit in on that interview.
No.
We're really impressed with this guy. Would you? And that to me, look, if you're a head coach in this league, and especially a first-time head coach, it shows me that you've got enough confidence and you're comfortable enough in your own skin, you're willing to surround yourself with the best people available.
Right.
Those people that are afraid to surround themselves with people that that have more water in their bucket on some one side of the ball or other than they do, to me, you know, that's a little bit of an issue if you just want people that are going to be there, that are going to be yes men, and they're going to, you know, and so that impressed me, you know, right from the start. You know, that's what's always impressed me about coaches in this league. You know, Jeff Fisher was one of, he didn't care how many ex-head coaches he had.
Right.
He just wanted the best people on his staff. And that impressed me about that.
Patriots and Chiefs. 41-year-old quarterback against a 23-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, but really, look, it's a 41-year-old quarterback against Bob Sutton.
Yes.
You know, and it's a young quarterback against Bill Belichick. And so that to me is the matchup that's interesting, because first of all, you give Belichick and his defense a little bit of time to look at you. I mean, check what they did to the Chargers, you know.
Right. Plus, they played already this season. So
yeah,
how much of an advantage is that?
Well, and it's also an advantage in the fact that they, the Chargers came in with kind of the same idea. Let's put these six or seven DBs out there on the field and let's see what happens. And
they just cut them to ribbons.
No, and so absolutely they did. And, you know, they played 12 personnel and 21 personnel, and they lined up in an I formation, which you very seldom see, and ran weak side lead until their nose bled. You know, I mean, that's what they did. And then, and so, I mean, that's the truth. And, you know, when you get it and you look at it, so, you know, anytime now, we know what the Titans did this year to New England here, okay? And we saw it. And we all know how formidable New England is in Foxborough. But they are not. And I just feel like there's going to be a different resolve there in Kansas City just because of what's happened in the past. And if Bob Sutton and that defense can continue to do, you know, what they were doing this last ball game, I mean, right, the guys up front made something happen. You know, they made it work. And, you know, Belichick has already come out and said it, because it doesn't, I mean, you don't have to be a wizard to look at it and see. I mean, that offense that they've got going, especially because of how special that kid is, you know, with his launch angles and how, you know, when you watch that last ball game, you know, if you would look at two quarterbacks and you didn't know and said who is the youngest quarterback in here and who's the veteran quarterback, you couldn't have told by the way they played.
Right.
You know, because Mahomes was stepping up and doing things that a veteran quarterback would do in those situations. And Luck looked unsettled.
He did.
I mean, he was unsettled. Yeah. He was ragged. He was jagged, you know, from the start. And so they've got a little something going on there, a little magic going on there in Kansas City. It's hard to ever bet against Belichick and Brady just because of, I mean, the results are there. But this is going to be a very interesting game. The weather won't make a difference because both of these teams don't care. Yeah.
They're both used to miserable temperatures.
They're both used to that. I mean, we know what it was last year when we were up there, right? I mean,
both places.
And that was much warmer than what they're about to get.
Right.
Yes.
So for looking at the Kansas City offense, Belichick is so good at taking away the one thing that you want to do. All right. So if you look at Kansas City's offense, how do you attack that defensively?
Well, the first thing that he's going to have to do is take away the inside of the football field, because, you know, that's where Mahomes makes a lot of these plays and a lot of these, you know, a lot of these off platform throws is on the inside of the football field. And so he'll figure out a way to use inside leverage and take away the inside of the football field. I think he will do this just by film breakdown and by positioning of that back. They can tell by how wide that back is set, what he's coming out, what the stem of that back's going to be. There's ways you can take that away initially by where you position your people, either outside or inside leverage. And if you use outside leverage, who are you funneling him to? They're going to break that down really, really tight, I think, and be able to take that away. Now, the one thing that you can look at and you can talk about and you can show on tape to your guys a lot, but until you experience the pure speed that they do have, have there in Kansas City. That's something they'll have to get used to. I don't know, and there's something else to think about. I don't know how good that footing is going to be. You remember when we were up there last year? I mean, that thing, it can be a little bit slick. So, but believe me, Belichick is not going to have them any easy access throws to begin with. He's going to make him come off his initial look.
On the other side, obviously, if you're Kansas City, if you're Bob Sutton, you can't do what the Chargers did. You can't try to play zone, put a bunch of DBs out there. And they really didn't blitz Brady at all. They didn't blitz him once in the first quarter. I think they only started to a little bit later. You're going to have to play some man, take some chances, and try to get Brady shuffling his feet.
Well, and that's what the Titans did here.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's what the Titans did here. The Titans, you know, they had a great defensive game plan against them. But the main thing that they did that Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease, you know, they came up with, they attacked that inside cylinder, mm-hmm. you know, and got Brady backing up.
Right.
And later on, when they had put enough pressure, you know, on him and had hit him a few times, especially on the inside cylinder part of it, then he started short-arming throws. Now, if you can get him to do that, well, that's important. I think his defensive front is going to be extremely – I think Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach for New England, is the best in the – he and Munchak are the best going. Okay, I mean, they know it. They've seen it all. You know, Munch did it, coached it, seen it. Scarnecchia is – I mean, anytime, you know, Bill Belichick brings somebody – talks somebody back out of retirement, you know how good he is. You know, and so that's going to be the matchup, is that offensive line against that defensive front of Kansas City that really stepped up their game big time last weekend. And so they're going to, first of all, and then they're going to figure out a way to try to get their hands down, because hands up, and they got their hands up in a way. Look, it's just like blocking a punt. If you're going to be a pass defender from the front part of the defense, you don't want to swipe at a ball. You don't want to do that, because you decrease your surface area by swiping at it. It's just like a outfielder catching a fly ball. You don't swipe at the ball. When you track it with your glove hand, and that's what you teach, stick your glove hand up, get them some palm surface and do it. They're going to have to find a way offensively, whether it's short setting, whether it's three, to get their hands down. Because Brady likes to make a lot of those quick throws, and right. If he's going to make those cylinder quick throws inside, they're going to have to get their hands down.
Why did the Chargers have so many issues last week? It was
defensively.
Yes, it was kind of frustrating to watch the Patriots have that kind of success without throwing the ball down the field. I mean, it was. Screen pass to running back here, 17 targets to the running back.
Well,
out route here, slant route here.
Here's the thing. I mean, if you want to just break it down to the base, they were too light in the britches behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I mean, they you know, that
no
know,
pressure at all.
Well, and plus, you know, as I said, they were in 12 and 21 personnel, and they line up and just ran it right at them. I mean, and you could see how far they were knocking them off the ball. You know, they were knocking them off the ball. And when you get that much separation between your first and your second level of defense mm-hmm. on a consistent basis, you don't really have to do that much. And then when you start creeping people up, and those linebackers, you know, they get tired of getting hit in the face, you know, with a running start. So they start moving up. Then you start hitting them on the perimeter with those backs. I mean, it was surgical when you really watched it.
and the Chargers, that had worked against the Ravens. And Belichick was like, oh, okay, well, if that's what you're going to do again. And they did the same thing again, and Belichick just completely had every answer and Brady for it.
But here's the difference, and you know it, and I know it. You got Jackson, and you got Brady.
Right.
And so they can tell the difference, pre-snap read. It was impressive to watch tactically when you were watching it. You know, now if you were just going into it, you know, blind, just with a blank slate going, well, why are they able to do that? But when you really looked at it and saw it, and then plus they had a whole week to prepare for it.
Right.
You know, you give those guys a whole week to prepare for it. That's why he's been so good in the Super Bowl. He gets 2 weeks to prepare for somebody. Just like, yeah. I mean, you better have all bases covered.
Right.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Britt Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport, Coach Mack in studio. Talking NFL football. Drew Brees and the Saints statistically have the best defense left going against the Rams. What do you think about that matchup?
Defense wins championships, right, Coach?
Yeah, well, Drew Brees and Sean Payton in the dome. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. And that now to me, you've got a pretty good matchup there too. And I'm not even talking about players right now. Let's talk about Sean Payton against Wade Phillips. All right, you've got two really veteran guys that know how to do things, and so that's going to be very, very interesting. And then look, again, as I say, you know the Rams were cheering for Philadelphia harder than the people in Philadelphia were cheering for them because they wanted the Eagles in L.A. Because
no doubt. They
get the Eagles in L.A. on that grass field, come on. You know, and the atmosphere that they've got rolling out there right now, I mean, to beat the Cow, to do what they wanted them at home bad. Now, that's just like those people in New Orleans wanted that thing down there in the dome. And that is going to be so interesting. To me, it's going to come down to, and I tell you, the two people that you need to look at in this ball game, if you want to talk about players, let's look at Gurley and C.J. Anderson and Kamara. Okay, because that's and not only running the football, but who is going to be able to keep those guys from being just deadly in the pass catching game, both in designated route catching and in the screen game.
Sure,
that's going to be huge. This ball game, and you know when you look at New Orleans and you really start looking at the weapons they have and the numbers that Breeze has put up, it's not like they have overwhelming weapons, but Peyton and Breeze are so good at distribution of people out of different personnel groups, and Sean Payton will put more personnel groups into the game. The only person in the league that changes personnel groups, you know, as much as him, it's not McVay, because they run 11 personnel most all of the time. But the personnel groups that Wade's going to have to deal with, this is going to be a really, really interesting ball game, and it's a big time matchup. And to me, I always go to the coaching matchups first to see how the game plans are going to be set out.
You mentioned Breeze, Brady, Mahomes. You know, we're talking quarterbacks. Kyler Murray puts his name in for the NFL draft. Clearly, football is his passion, or at least the one he's more passionate about right now. You look at him, the knock on him is size. And can he handle hits in the NFL? I mean, this is a kid who's 5'9". So take us inside the game with the struggles of nowadays a 5'9 quarterback in the league.
Okay, let's talk about the way the game has evolved. And first of all, I mean, I'm going to date myself, but I love the history of the league. I mean, you know the name Eddie LeBaron?
Yeah, the little Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. Fran Tarkenton. Yeah. Okay, I mean, okay. There's some guys that even way back.
Eddie LeBaron was probably what, 5'6", 5'7"?
And
how different?
Okay,
is the game,
no,
though?
It's different, but that's my point. It's different now. You still got to be able to be a cylinder thrower, but the way the game has expanded so much horizontally now, and here's two things. First of all, you think about a 5'9 quarterback. Is he going to be able to see from the cylinder to be able to differentiate downfield with coverage, placement, where people are? Can he throw over the people? And second of all, can he take the punishment? Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing they've done, let's go with this, they've taken punishment out of it for quarterbacks.
That's a great point. You can't
hit them anymore. I mean, you can't look.
When I first started
coaching defense in this league with the Bears, our first game plan was get the quarterback.
Yeah, I want to see number two.
And we could. Yeah, and
that's
and
what
we
Greg
and
Williams
we could. We could and we did.
Well, look at McMahon and getting body slammed after a play.
After the play with Charles Too Dumb Martin. I'll never forget, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, so it's a different world for in that aspect of it. The other thing is the game has expanded so much horizontally because you can't touch these receivers now. I mean, you cannot touch them. So there's going to be separation. There's going to be space. And with the offense the way they are now, and again, I hate saying RPO because it's so overused, but you get these quarterbacks now that are making immediate reads and you're reading the backside of what's going on when you stick that, you know, ball in for an inside or an outside zone play. I don't think it's not anymore 7-step drops that are putting you 9 and 10 yards deep in the cylinder. It's just not. Right. And even if you're going to make an extended throw, look what Baker Mayfield did this year. Start watching some of his stuff. He escapes up inside the cylinder in that center guard gap, in that tackle box, not so much outside, but up inside, and then can still make the throw downfield. And the reason he can make the throw downfield, Don, is because there's separation downfield because you can't touch him. Okay? You used to could be able to. So you asking me, this kid's a fabulous athlete. I've only watched him TV scouting. Clearly, if the Major League Baseball wants him this bad, he's a fabulous athlete. He's got a tremendous snap throw. You watch him. He looks like a lot like Mayfield throwing the ball.
That's baseball.
That's that baseball thing, yeah. Shortstop throw. I don't know what position he plays, but I know he can throw it quick, and he can throw it accurate. So to answer your question, can he play in this league? Yes. Will it have to be some things tailored to him? Yes. But the 5'9", I don't think immediately disqualifies him.
Minimized in nowadays game.
Yeah. And all it takes is one team to say that. And the 32nd player in the first round last year got $7.7 million guaranteed right off the top. Right. It's going to be more this year.
Let's go to Chris in Nashville for Coach Mack. Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing.
Not usually very nervous when I'm talking to you, but Coach Mack, what's up, man?
Chris, look, don't be nervous, brother. Please don't be nervous. Thanks for calling in, man.
You, sir, are absolutely brilliant. My gosh, if there's a talent for anything, you have got it in the NFL and in college. I'll tell you what, it's an honor to talk to you. Hey, listen, I was looking at a stat. I don't remember who came out with it or I was looking for it now. I didn't find it, but it was comparing Patrick Mahomes' rookie stats to Tom Brady's rookie stats. And in pretty much every category, Patrick had doubled what Tom had done in his rookie season. So I guess my question to you is, as fans of football and quarterbacks, where do you gauge Patrick in comparison to where Tom is now based on those stats, and where do you think he's going?
Chris, first of all, thanks for calling. Thank you for the kind comments, and I'll try to answer this in an intelligent way. First of all, Mahomes. I vetted Mahomes. You know, I did work for three national draft publications before I came to work, you know, for Titans Radio and here. And when I was vetting him coming out, the one name that I wrote when I was watching him play and watching him throw, the one name I kept, because I've been in the league for 30-plus years, that I referred back to of quarterbacks that I've defensed and gone against, was Brett Favre. Brett Favre, because of the different launch platforms he can throw from, right. And plus just the fact that he is fearless. And the other thing is he's way more athletic than you even know when you really watch him and start to look at him. I mean, in high school, I know that high school he came from down there in Whitehall, Texas. They keep saying he's from Tyler. He's not from Tyler. He's from Whitehall. Okay.
Is that a suburb of Tyler?
Yes, it is. And this guy is a special athlete. And the other thing that you loved about him when you talk to those people at Texas Tech about him, his demeanor. This guy is unflappable. Right. He is fearless. But he's not fearless to the point of being careless. He is fearless and with confidence. And so his future, I mean, he was blessed in this situation, not only physically, but look, he was able to come into this league and sit for a year behind an established quarterback and with Andy Reid. And look, he got a master's degree in NFL football without ever having to take a snap. That was so important. And then when he stepped in, he was more than ready. He's got a brilliant, brilliant future. Okay. And look, the difference between he and Tom Brady, you know, came in and was a clear, everybody knows the story, was a later round draft pick. You know, what Tom Brady did when Tom Brady came in, his mental grasp of the game was so fast and so quick. And Tom Brady, you know, of course, clearly is athletically blessed with an arm, but his mind, I mean, he was probably more ready mind-wise when he came in. But what has impressed me about Mahomes is he was able to come in, sit. He didn't sit. He learned. He learned, and now you can see it. Look, when we played them in that preseason, remember when he came in the fourth quarter and threw that thing running sideways, looked like he was shooting a shotgun out of the back of a pickup?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy can do – I mean, he's impressive. He's going to be impressive.
That's what you do in Tyler, Whitehall, Texas, right?
And Snyder. And look, he's not going to be awed by any situation that he's in. He's got a bright future. Thanks for the call.
Is there any Super Bowl or any Super Bowl matchup that you would like to see one over the other of the remaining four teams?
No, I think they're all good. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, if New Orleans wins and gets in, you won't be able to get a ticket in Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, you know, those people, I mean, they will empty the swamps down there in Louisiana. They will be all over that. Okay. Yeah. Now that's number one to begin with. But, you know, if you get the Rams in there, everybody would want to see, you know, this offense and what they can do. And look, either, you know, you get New England in there. Well, we know how the Patriots travel, you know, right. They're everywhere. So any matchup's going to be good. You got four good teams playing. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Titans Radio analyst Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack, thank you for the time. As always,
is that it?
Always good to see you.
Hey, before I leave, Dawn, congratulations on the award.
Thanks, Coach.
No, that's so solid. You're solid. And especially, look, and I know, and a lot of times it depends on the teammate, but to be able to overcome what you do here with these two.
That's what I always say. That's what put her over the top. She finally won because she came in here with us.
They always talk about a good quarterback is somebody that can lift everybody's game up. She does that. See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach Mack.